This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, his companions, and his followers until the day of judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is last and final messenger. First of all, I would like to start by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me the opportunity to be here with you today. And also I would like to thank all the brothers and sisters who are working hard to make this happen every year. May Allah bless you and bless your effort and accept from all of you, the organizers, the attendees, and the speakers. Choosing Islam, it is something very essential, because actually you cannot be a Muslim unless you choose to be a Muslim. There is nobody is a Muslim just because his parents are Muslims. Islam is a choice that you have to make. That's why al-ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala agreed that the essential of the aqidah, of your creed, of your belief, cannot be just based on imitation. Yani if you ask a Muslim why you're a Muslim, he's not going to tell you, oh, because my parents are Muslim. I choose to be a Muslim. I want to be a Muslim. So that's a choice that everybody must do. I choose Islam because I believe in it. I believe in Allah and I believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And without making that choice, a person cannot ever be a Muslim. You cannot force someone to be a Muslim. Not only that, but also to choose to be a Muslim, to choose to submit yourself to Allah and to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. It cannot be for a believer, male or female, when Allah and His Messenger make a decision about something, make a ruling about something, that you have a choice about, and it's in a sense that, you know what, I can just leave it and consider Muslim. I have to choose what Allah have chosen for me. And not only that, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, that the believers are the one who submit themselves to Allah Azza wa Jal and to the order of Muhammad Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, complete submission. That's why we call Muslims and believers, mu'mins. Yes, we are naturally, as all human beings, naturally born with that natural instinct to recognize God, to love God, that we recognize His presence. And by the way, even in the scientific community today, you can search that and look at so many studies in child psychology talking about how children, without being exposed to any concept of religion, they still recognize naturally that there is God, that this exists. Which is in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every single born in a state called al-fitrah, which is naturally you believe in the existence, recognize God. That's why when you became Muslim, you feel that you touch that spot inside your heart, which is always you had it, but you didn't know how to express it. I remember one brother, after he became Muslim, he was telling me that one of the things that always touched my heart is that the verses of the Quran. Whenever I hear the verses of the Quran, it always touches my heart, even though I have no idea what that means. As a matter of fact, I have one sister of my community. She told me she used to work in the missionary works. And she was one day in Vietnam. And she said in one of the mountains of Vietnam, she heard this woman reciting Quran in the night, in the middle of the night. And she's the first time in my life to hear the Quran. And I loved it. I loved it. It just touched my heart. There is something inside me told me that this is something different. It's not the same songs or things that the people sound. It's completely sound different to me. So when I asked her, she told me this is Al-Quran. And she's a Muslim. And that's the first time ever exposed. 3 or 4 years later, she said in America, in Houston, Texas, she came to one of the masajid and she learned about Islam and she ended up Muslim, alhamdulillah. But my point was that that's something inside her heart. When she heard the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she recognized it. She felt it. Belief can be established through so many different reasons. Belief is not a philosophical issue or need. You became Muslim through logical debate or a reasoning conclusion that you come to. People became Muslim for many different reasons. From the time of the Prophet ﷺ until today. You see, the Prophet ﷺ time, somebody became Muslim because he wanted to get married to a Muslim woman. And he became Muslim for that purpose. But he entered Islam for that reason, from that door. Another person for financial reasons, for security reasons. So people can enter Islam from a very different doors. But the point is not this. The point, what's after that? You be Muslim. Is the Islam is something that you choose to keep, to let it grow, settle in your heart. And that's what Israeli faith is. That's why I'm not going to get you into that theological debate between Muslim theologian about is your faith has to be established through, you know, logic or through just a blind faith or what is it. I don't believe that it can be established through many different ways. But the main point is how that feel in your, how the feeling of the faith is really inside your heart. Do you really believe in it? Does something grow and become strong? You know, a friend of mine in Maryland was giving a lecture about inheritance, how Islam told us how to divide the inheritance. A family law lawyer attending the lecture was a Muslim. After the lecture, he stood up and he said, "Ashhadu Allah." He said, "I want to be Muslim," and they gave him the Shahada. He said, "I'm a family law lawyer, and I can tell you, it made perfect sense to me what you just did and explained." Another person in my masjid in Ramadan a few years back walked into the masjid while we were praying Taraweeh. It was so weird because he brought a chair like this, and he put it in front of all the lines. We thought he's drunk, but he wasn't. And he was watching me. And I said to the community, just leave him. And after I finished the whole entire Taraweeh, he told me, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm praying." He said, "What's that?" And I said, "This is Quran." Then he started crying. And he was not on drugs. He's not drunk or anything like that. He said, "I was passing by." And that time we had a rental place before we moved to our masjid. And he heard the recitation from outside, passing by the rental place that we used to pray at. And he said, "It just took over my heart, my soul." People can enter Islam, as I said, for so many different reasons. But the main point is, and you became committed to religion. You became religious for so many reasons. As an MSA student or as a Muslim, already been a Muslim all your life, you can choose to be committed to your religion for many different reasons. Some of us, after crisis or something happened to them, or just, you know what, I thought about it and I decide to start practicing the religion. But the main question is, after you enter through that door, what will be the next step? What really can make you stood fast? That, you know what, I love this deen. I love this religion. You know, that's why I'm really being Muslim. And to answer this, I have several things that for me, I want to take it from one perspective, which is what's really the impact of Islam in my life? And that's why I am a Muslim. Islam recognizes, knows human beings very well for a simple reason, because the religion came from the one who made us, who created us. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ Allah said in the Quran, don't he the one who created you, so you, he knows you the best? Absolutely. He knows you the best. If I buy, you know, God forbid, Samsung, I'm an Apple fan, okay? So I'm not going to go to the Apple store to ask for the menu for the Samsung phone. I have to go to the Samsung menu to know how that functions. I'm not going to go to the, basically, Apple store to teach me about it. And vice versa. Allah created us. He knows us better than anyone else. Better than any psychologist, better than any anthropologist, but better than anyone, any human being. And he knows us, and he told us a lot about ourselves. And Islam recognizes human beings. Don't look at human beings as just a machine, or just a human being that made of lust, or made of just logic and reasoning. No, we are a being that it is a combination, very unique combination of emotions and body parts and psychology and physiology, all this mixed together. خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ We made you in the best fashion. فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَّا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ Allah said in the Quran, He have put you together. Put together inside you several a component of emotions, of systems that basically allowed you to enjoy your life and to live your life. Al-Islam recognizes human being as an individual, but also as a person, part of a community, as a family man. So all this be taken into consideration. That's why Al-Islam speaks to human being. Sometimes he speaks to our reasoning. Sometimes he speaks to our heart to basically address our emotions. All these areas are addressed in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As a matter of fact, if you look at the ultimate goal of Islam, the ultimate goal of Islam is to protect you as a human being, to protect your intellect, to protect your wealth, to protect your religion, to protect your lineage. All it's about you. So the whole entire religion that Allah has sent down, it is for me and about me. Not only that everything He created, it's about you. And one of the amazing verses in the Quran that strike me, even though it is very simple, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about how He have sent down the rain from the earth, okay, to basically, and that rain caused vegetations and fruit, then He said, مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ, that He said, this is for you to enjoy it and for your cattle to enjoy it. That not only He cares about you to enjoy it, you and your cattle, you and your animals. So He cares about you and anything that belongs to you too. That's so interesting. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of you. And I'm saying this because we're living in an era and a time, I would assume, what is the fastest growing religion in the United States today? What is it? Atheism. If I call it religion. Atheism is the fastest growing thing that we have in the United States. And that's something, a threat to, it is a challenge for all of us, the people for different even faith. And one of the things that always distinguish America from the rest of the world, the Western atmosphere at least, is that we've been always a community based on faith and believing in God. But this even today is not as it was 10 years ago. Our moral standard of believing in God is going down by the day. And I believe Muslim community and Muslim students have a great role to play to preserve religion in public life. And that's something honored and respect. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is someone that has been worshipped and honored. When they see a sign saying, keep God out of LA, that's not something good for all of us. And I think the more we as a Muslim community introduce faith and the importance of believing in God, it is something to protect the future of our society and our country. Anyway, going back to my point about what the impact of religion that it has on us as an individuals, as a community, as a family, I put it in few points that I will share whatever is possible during the few minutes. One of the first thing the ulama talk about Islam, and they discuss an interesting point. They said, if we would think about the religion of Islam, and we will say Islam is about blank, what it will be? It's the religion of, put a blank, what it will be? You'll feel a lot of scholars came to an interesting word, which is justice. And one of the people who talked a lot about this, a modern scholar who was the head of Al-Azhar, not long time ago, rahimahullah, Sheikh Mahmoud Shaltut. And he wrote a lot about this issue, that Islam قال هو دين العدل. And he said, if there is something about Christianity, distinguish it, it's the mercy. You know, about Judaism, it is the strict rules. But when it comes about Islam, it is nothing can I think of like justice, al-adl. And before him, hundreds of years before him, Ibn al-Qayyim discussed this as well. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to basically seal for the prophethood. He came to, his personality represented every prophet and every message before him. And he said something similar to what Sheikh Shaltut said. He said, in Christianity, you see the mercy, the lenience, and this is a lot in Islam. You see in Judaism, rules, strict rules, and you see of this a lot in Islam. So Islam is a combination of all the beautiful things that came before. But he said one of the things that distinguish this religion is how much it cares for the concept of justice. What is justice? Justice is to put things where it belongs. Injustice is to put things where it doesn't belong. Al-adl huwa wad'u shay'i fi mawdi'ih. That's how the Muslim scholars have defined it. And from the day one, you see that this is a religion of justice for a simple reason. One, because Allah, one of His name is the Just Al-Adl. It's his name, and it's a description of His actions. All His actions is based on justice. All His qadr is based on justice. فِعْلُهُ وَقَدَرُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى is all based on Al-Adl.
اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ وَالْمِيزَانِ.
It is Allah who has sent down the book in truth and also the balance. And balance here represents justice.
لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ.
We have already sent our messengers with clear evidence and sent down with them the scripture and the balance. So it's not only knowledge, but also balance. Scripture and the balance. That the people may maintain justice. Maintain their affairs in justice. So that's the whole goal of the messengers. The whole goal of the message of Islam. And this can be clearly seen in several areas in Islam. Number one, a religion came to establish a very important fact, which is لا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. Al-Quran said, ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. And verily Saul earns not blame except against itself. So you only be held accountable for the sin that you commit, not someone else did. And no bearer of burden will bear the burden of another. I cannot bear the burden of someone else's problems or mistakes. And that was a clear distinguish between the way, for example, Christians look at that every soul born sinners and you need a savior to save us from the sin that committed by Adam. In the Muslim world, we never believed in that. And it was from the beginning because that's against the concept of justice. You see, al-Islam, it speaks about being just with those who don't agree with you. As a matter of fact, just with the enemy, just with your enemies. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and verily, and He said, and do not let the hatred of people prevent you from being just. Be just that is nearer to taqwa, righteousness. Also to be just and fair with your relatives, with people, your friends, with people close to you. You don't give them what doesn't belong to them. Not because they're relative, not because they're friends. You know, not because they are my country fellow men, that I give them justice while I treat people outside my country unfairly. That's not acceptable. That's not how Islam looked at it. You're just and fair with those so close and those are far. There's an enemy and those are friends. As He said,
وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَىٰ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when you speak, be just, even if it concerns a near relative to you. Justice, it has become something known for the Prophet ﷺ as a ruler, represented justice in manifested in so many ways. And one of my favorite stories, when the Prophet ﷺ reported about Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and Nabi sallam saw the lines of the Muslims, it's about the in one of his wars, or one of the battles, he was lining up the companion, and he saw Ghuzayya was not in the line. So the Prophet ﷺ pushed him back with a stick in his hand. He pushed him back to be in the line. So Ghuzayya said, Ya Rasulullah, awja'tani. Ya Rasulullah, you hurt me. The Prophet ﷺ with no hesitation. And I want you to think about this. Because it's a just society, it's a just and fair society, this man didn't hesitate to speak out, to say to the leader of the Muslim, because it's a just and fair society. He can speak up and say, you hurt me. Then the Prophet ﷺ immediately gave him the stick and he uncovered his stomach, because that man's stomach wasn't covered, to be absolutely fair. And he said, go ahead, take your revenge. He took the stick and he approached the Prophet ﷺ and all the companions looking. Then all of a sudden he started kissing the Prophet ﷺ's stomach and putting his cheek against the Prophet ﷺ. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I will never ever hurt you. I only ask for this because that opportunity to come too close to you and to make sure that the last thing I touch in this dunya, in case I die in this battlefield, it will be your skin, Ya Rasulullah. And you look at the justice of the companions, of the justice of the Muslim Ummah, it is unbelievable. And because just the lack of time, we can't go and drag on too many stories. But one of the Jewish community members in the Muslim society at that time had a problem with Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was the head of the state at that time. In al-Kufa, in Iraq, Ali ibn Abi Talib found his shield, which is something that he took from the Prophet ﷺ. The shield that he carried in the war. And it's very dear to him because it goes to the Prophet ﷺ time. So he found this Jewish person having it in the market. So he said, that's mine. He said, no, that's mine. And they debated over it. So they went to the judge Shuraih. And the Qadi Shuraih said to Ali ibn Abi Talib, you have a proof that this is your shield. He said, because it's in the possession of that Jewish person. He's a citizen, he's a person of the society, he has the right. You can't just claim it and take it. Then he said, I have a proof. He said, what? He said, I have two witnesses, and they are my sons, Al-Hassan Al-Hussein. Then Qadi Shuraih said, no, they are your sons, they cannot be witnesses. Either you bring me a bayina, or this man, if he swear by God that this is his shield, he can keep it. And wallahi ya amir al-mu'mineen, I know you're saying the truth. And he's not. In my heart. But that's how I have to be fair and just. So the man said, wallah, inna hadha huwa al-mizan. This is the exact balance that Musa used to rule between us. I found the shield on one of the valleys and I picked it up. This justice is something known in the history. Also, even just with animals. Not just with just and fair with everything, with animals, with environments. And Islam speaks about this from 1,400 years ago. Not because we have a global warming at that time. Not that it's a reaction. One of the beautiful points that Sister Samara said earlier, that in Islam, your rights are inherently your rights. You don't need to fight for it. Al-Islam give it to you, like women's, for example, right? In Islam, we don't have the history that women have to struggle and to live through misery or slaves or to recognize, to end racism. It's something Al-Islam give it to you. That's your right. You don't even need to fight for it. You deserve to receive it. And it must be protected by the society. And Islam also, one of the things that impact of Islam in your life, and that's why I choose to be a Muslim, I love Islam, because Islam make my life free of contradictions. It's a perfect sense religion. It's a religion, do not make contradiction between science and religion. We never had this problem in our history. That's a foreign concept for us as Muslims. Actually, if you look, it's ironic to know that so many of the scientists during the golden Islamic era were Jewish and Christians, even among Muslim society. But it's not about being a Muslim. It's about Islam provide the environment for these scientists to grow, for science to flourish. Also, you find that we don't have a contradiction between, for example, the dunya and the akhirah, this life and the next. We don't have, either you have to be completely dedicated to the dunya, forget about the akhirah, or no. Actually, we see that this dunya is ma'bar, is a bridge, is a tool for us to reach the akhirah. You can't just be devoted all your time to the akhirah and forget about the dunya. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw someone sitting in the masjid. He said, why are you sitting here? Inna sama'a la tumtiru dhahaban wa la fidda. Rain does not carry with it gold and silver. Go work. When the Prophet ﷺ saw people in the masjid sitting, you know what? The employment, yes, he helped them, but he told them, go to the desert, collect some wood and sell it. Just don't beg people for money. Work. And that's why you see men and women work during the Prophet ﷺ time to earn their income and to basically not just to live off people help or government help. You don't have in our belief the principle of belief. There is no complicity. It is simple. Allah is one. You worship Allah alone. We don't have mediator in the middle. As simple as this. No prophet, no saint, no human being or anything, or angel or anything. You have one Lord that you pray to, you ask, and you worship Him alone. As simple as that. Has no partner, has no son, no three entity in the end up. It's one. It's a true monism religion. Look at the complicity of the concept of the hereafter when you ask a Jewish rabbi or a scientist. Very hard for them even to explain how it is. There's so much debate about them. Is there a hereafter or not? While you look at this simple belief in Islam, it's very clear, very straightforward, simple. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes. Clearly stated. No contradiction. We don't believe in some and deny some. I used to teach in my masjid about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes, and I have a Methodist church next to our masjid. Alhamdulillah, we always maintain a good relationship with neighbors. So the youth director used to attend my class about Allah's names and attributes, and he told me, you know what, I never have been exposed to something like this in my life. I love the way you guys have described the Lord. It's so beautiful, so deep, so detailed, so simple. I wish that we have something like this. And he said, I use some of your teaching actually to my youth. You know, the concept of al-qadr, straightforward, simple. You want a result, you have to take the necessary means. You have to remove the hindrance. And everything happened, basically, you have a will, but it happened according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no contradiction between the call and the concept of prophethood. All prophets and messengers, ikhwatun li'illat, they are like half brothers. They all call for la ilaha illallah, but everybody has their own sharia, their own real rulings. One thing about this religion, it's honor human being. And that's why I choose to be a Muslim and I love Islam. Because it's a religion that really look at human being as something very unique. From the day we were created, I descended, I go back in history all the way to Adam alayhi salam. A being that created by Allah's hand. A being that created and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the angel prostrate themselves before Adam. It's not about Adam, it's about you. That's why you choose to be a Muslim. That bride inside you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth and the heavens, all of it for you. You know, when I arrived to this conference, the MSA brothers and sisters, they basically were very nice and generous, preparing, you know, at my room, gift baskets, and all the stuff. You know, when you see that, you feel like, wow, this is nice. People really like me and respect me and honor me. Can you imagine, you come to a guest to someone at the house, and he made the house so special for you. How you feel? Don't you feel special? Look at the earth around you. Look at the world around you. Allah made this beautiful earth and everything in it for you. خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا من. He created for you everything in this earth to serve you. ولقد كرمنا بني آدم. We honor the human being. وحملناهم في البر والبحر. Carried in the sea and in the land. That's why you choose to be a Muslim. It's a big difference between someone feeling that I go back, my lineage goes back to be an ape. No, I go back to be a prophet and messenger. It's a big difference the way you see yourself. Human beings are created free. God created every single soul free. Not enslaved to any. Not enslaved to human being, because you might be enslaved to something else. And Islam wants to free you from being slave to anyone except Allah. As Ibn al-Qayyim said, هَرَبُوا مِنَ الرِّقِّ الَّذِي خُلِقُوا لَهُ فَبُلُوا بِرِقِّ النَّفْسِ وَالشَّيْطَانِ. They run away from being a slave to Allah and they end up slave to their own desires and slave to the shaitan. You don't want to be that way too. Al-Islam, honored human being. Give you the rights, so many rights, and this is a big subject, but I hope that is something just you think about. How in detail Islam speak about honoring you as a human being, alive and dead. Can you imagine Islam, you're not even allowed to step over a person's grave. Is that allowed? What? Why? For honoring that dead person. You don't step over his grave. You don't dig his grave unless there is absolute necessity for that. Muslim or non-Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ stood up when a janazah funeral passed by. They said, Ya Rasulullah, this is a Jewish man. He said, he's a human being. That's honoring for a woman. Oh my God, that's a completely different story. How the Quran came to honor women in a time in the Middle East where you look in the East, women are buried. In the Middle East, they used to bury them with a child. In the Far East, they kill them when their husbands die. In Europe, in France, they were discussing when the Prophet was 30 years old, if women are human or not human. And they end up saying women have the body of human and the soul of a devil. And where Islam comes to speak about women and give a whole entire chapter in the Quran about it. Anyway, al-Islam, it's a healing for the heart, for the diseases, for the crisis that we see. But if there is anything I want to leave you with, it would be quick 2 points. Number one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَفَسْغَيْرَ اللَّهِ لَفَسْغَيْرَ. If there is multiple gods in the heavens and earth, there will be corruptions in heavens and earth. I want to tell you, this is in heavens and earth. If there is multiple gods in it, it will be corrupt. I want to say, the same thing goes to your heart. If your heart have multiple gods in it, it will be corrupt heart. If you keep it only solely for Allah, your heart will be healthy. Your heart will be pure. Your heart will be sound. Your heart will be that heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised on the day of judgment. It will be surviving the hellfire and entering paradise. And the last point that I have, it's just a takeaway point. If you want to love this religion, to feel like, you know what, I'm Islam really by choice by loving it, this is takeaway point. Number one, learn. You cannot love something you're ignorant of. Two, learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically, names and attributes. Learn about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Learn about the beautiful sharia of Islam. It's so beautiful. Learn about the beauty of it. Number three, learn about the companions and the life of the great Muslim scholars. Abu Hanifa said, I love to study the life of the scholars, some even more than studying their fiqh and their opinion. It strengthens your iman. Number three, which is Sister Shaykh Tamara mentioned it, is the actions. This religion is based on action. Amilu salihat. You cannot separate faith from actions. As a matter of fact, it's very funny. I was reading in one of the books of Al-Ahnaf. They talk about the issue of someone who's not praying. Is he Muslim or not? Do you know what the author wrote? I think it was Al-Qara'i. It's not Al-Hanafi, it's actually Maliki, Al-Qara'i, rahimahullah. He said, and this is mas'alatun iftiradiyyah la yutasawwar wuku'uha. This is a hypothetical example, cannot be imagined to be exist, to have a Muslim who don't pray. He wrote this about 700-800 years ago. He said, that's hypothetical. It's impossible to imagine someone claim Muslim and never pray. Allah musta'an. Be positive towards the Muslim community. A lot of people lose love to the Islam because they have a lot of struggle with the Muslim community or some of the practices that they've seen done by some Muslim. This negativity, if you allowed your heart and your mind always be negative, 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 people tend to stay away from Islam and Muslims. Have a good friends that they will help you enjoy your religion and to enjoy your deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve your deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us his love and his mercy for dunya wal akhirah. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.